Welcome one and all to Blunt Business on CannabisRadio.com. Thank you again for joining us. This week, I'm happy to go ahead and present to you a returning guest of the program. My next guest, actually joined me back in November 2018 when we were just running through episodes. And I think at the time I was producing three episodes a week, something just some tireless pace at that time. Anyway, my guest runs California's leading wholesale cannabis marketplace and distributor. And they are the premier licensed cannabis wholesaling platform, supporting over 150 brands and supplying the entire network of California dispensaries with top-tier products. Welcome back to the program, the co-founder and CEO of Nabis, Vince Ning, here back to Blunt Business. Vince, glad to have you back on.
Yeah, thanks for having me back on. It's great to be back here after a couple of years.
A little over three years.
Like a lot's changed.
And it has. Let's go and talk about how that's been like that. So now you are serving 99% of licensed retailers in California. You're offering clients a variety of services and offerings. Notably, you're acting as a distribution middleman for cannabis cultivators and retail brands. And you're offering assistance with compliance logistics, warehousing, pay collections, financing, sales, and marketing. You've added a lot more to the portfolio. And then you also now have fulfillment warehouses in Los Angeles and Oakland. You're working with 80 cannabis brands, distributing to more than 700 dispensaries, touting a 36-hour turnaround time. So it's been 3 years. Talk to me about the progress.
Yeah. Back then, we probably had a team size of maybe 20, 30 people distributing products. I was still getting in trucks delivering products when we were shorthanded. Now we have a lot more to our platform. Like you mentioned, we distribute products for quite a few people across California. I think the new number is up to a little over 150 individual brands now. It's been phenomenal in terms of what we've been able to accomplish in terms of helping out the industry in California. We started this business, sought out to, support as many operators on both sides of the marketplace. So either on the supply side with brands or on the retail side with brick and mortar stores or delivery businesses. And every day we just think about how we can continue to support, the next little guy that's coming up to the stage to come to market. And our platform now, helps support not just, fulfillment, but also, sales and marketing through our marketplace, data analytics tools, financing as well. And so, it really helps a brand, get from day one up to, being one of the largest brands in California. So it's been exciting to see. And obviously every day is a new challenge, but, a lot's happened in the past few years.
With the last few years being 2 years of pandemic, which is another thing that's very amazing. What I want to ask real quick is, now there was a point where you had talked to TechCrunch and mentioned how Nabis has shipped $250 million of cannabis each year. And with additional funding, you expect to reach 25% of the state's legal cannabis market and disrupt this $4 billion market, which I will talk more about where the market is right now. There's a lot to be said about it, but number one, we're still not legalized yet. I mean, you do have the state legalization, adult use and medical in California, but the level of growth you've been able to do and how quickly it's been done and how you've overcome the pandemic. Like, talk to me about, the obstacles have been put in front of you.
Yeah. The pandemic definitely changed the face of the industry along with the world. And we're definitely not excluded from any of that. When the pandemic first hit, it was pretty unclear whether cannabis was going to even be essential or not. And it was interesting to see that the industry rallied back and, made cannabis essential. And I think for good reason, due to all the medical patients out there. And there's quite a bit of tossing and turning in the beginning, just given CDC was announcing new guidelines every day. And we had to change our operational workflows and policies pretty much every day. So big shout out to our HR department for getting that right. Through COVID, we actually grew quite substantially. I think back then, like you said, we were shipping around $250 million worth of product out of the $4 billion market. And, Today we ship, we've more than doubled in size. So, you know, we ship over $500 million worth of product now. You know, the team has grown from about 100 people beginning of last year now to, we just crossed 300. And so it's been quite a growth period for us. And I think the entire cannabis industry. And so, you know, curious to see how things continue to shake out post COVID, but I think it really, you know, helps cement the industry in a lot of ways.
Now we're going to go into a break in just a minute and delve into the actual California market itself and where things are, because there's a lot of news being talked about it. What is interesting to me is, I mean, the government, you know, in California, they want more tax revenue. There's that issue coming into play. Plus, the constant issue, not just the fact that what the CDC has recommended and what guidelines are being made to companies, it's also the state of emergency being still implemented. And, you know, whether it's right or not, I want to say political about this, the idea is that the state of emergency could be said to be a little bit more strenuous and a little bit more in of a lockdown sense than it would be in other states. And it's affecting a lot of what the cannabis market goes through. I just think there's a whole lot to go and delve into. Now that we're out of this, I think, you know, the idea was going to be that we're going to have certain implementation of things that have changed because of the pandemic, whether it's business or HR related, and that's going to be just staying as it is. And the thing is, we're left just with the market, and we're in terms of economic issues that are playing into things, and also just where the state of California is, that has to be considered. And we're going to talk about that after a short break. And again, welcome back here, co-founder and CEO of Nabis, Vince Ding, here on Blunt Business. Really glad to have him back on the show. We'll have more questions for him after this.
Rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more Blunt Business.
DC politicians want to enact harmful credit card mandates that could take away your cash back and rewards points, perks that stretch your budget and make life a little easier. Losing these benefits means less money for your family's everyday essentials like gas and groceries. The perks you rely on could disappear, leaving you with higher costs and fewer options. Tell Congress to guard your card and oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card mandates.
Paid for by Electronic Payments Coalition.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
We're back here on Blunt Business with Vince Ning, co-founder and CEO of Nabis. MJ Biz Daily recently wrote, and this is just recently as I recorded this program with you, California marijuana companies already facing labor shortages, high taxes, and regulatory red tape. We're talking about companies in general, are now contending with supply chain gridlock, forcing many to reassess and revamp procurement strategies as margins shrink. I want to take more from the passage here. The constraints which have gripped the global economy, are a combination of pandemic-fueled labor woes, shipping and product delivery delays, as well as rising prices on everything from raw materials and equipment to fleets and utilities. And Nabis, for its part, you're facing significantly higher costs for your third distribution center that's set to open in the summer of this year, and it's an 86,000-square-foot facility in the Central Valley, nearly doubling your warehouse space in LA and Oakland combined. You have seen construction, renovation, maintenance, and fleet costs rise rapidly the past 6 months, while procurement cycles on some products have been delayed weeks. There's a lot that's going on here within California. I give you great kudos for the continued growth and for staying the course on your progress of what you're looking to do with the company. But talk to me about these obstacles here that are going on.
Yeah. You know, I think first and foremost, it starts with COVID. I think it changed a lot of the way that global supply chains work. Everything from, you know, raw materials, packaging, even shipping across overseas, if you're trying to import things, those take a long time now. And it's really hard to predict. You know, even personally, I bought some furniture at the beginning of COVID. It took me about 6 months to receive it. Oh. And then lately I bought some new furniture and it took about 3 weeks. So it's really hard to say what the timelines are, which means it's really hard to predict when we can actually give correct expectations to our clients in terms of, when we can actually be open for business in certain areas. I think the main point is just trying to stay communicative. Obviously the show has to go on and we have to procure these items. We have to launch our warehouse. We have to support more of the industry because, the train doesn't stop. But it also, we also have to think about the global financial market as well, where, another big impact is basically the government dropping trillions of dollars into the economy in the US. And so creates a lot of inflation. And starting with that, it, obviously raises costs of goods and costs of services across the board. And so, we need to think about how we need to adjust there in order to ensure that everyone from our clients are happy to our internal team and employees, because everyone's feeling the hurt right now. We're actually doing annual budgeting right now. And a lot of this is, right at the forefront in terms of topics of discussion. So, it's something that I imagine every business is going through right now. Otherwise, you're not going to be prepared for what's to come in the future, especially with, interest rates hiking and potential slowdowns of the economy.
Now, there's been a lot of talk about how there are companies that are looking to leave California. There's also homeowners. It really just the level of taxes that are being pushed upon and the pricing just for facilities. I can only imagine how much that new facility in Central Valley is putting up compared to what it could have been a couple of years ago, where inflation has just come into play, plus the taxes that are being put on, plus property taxes are just surmounting. But now I want to find out, maybe there's another way to go and look at this because of the fact that, the state of California needs the cannabis industry to do well, because if you have certain industries that might be upending and moving to other states, then California needs to be understanding that, okay, they need to be more reliant upon the cannabis market. Thus, are they going to give more breaks to the industry? Or do you feel like there's some ways that the cost might be something you have to go and take it at this point, but in the long run, it's going to work out?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think you're referring to this cannabis coalition that's been forming across California, right, with a lot of the major operators and small businesses out there. And, I think everyone's pretty much on the same page about taxes being too high and there not being enough retail access points. And so, on the topic of taxes, I couldn't agree more. I think, I get that the government needs to tax this industry. It is a big revenue generative opportunity for them. The industry has to be able to survive first. I can't, count the number of businesses that have gone extinct in the past few years just because of, minor changes in the macroeconomic economy and large ones like the pandemic as well. And so, as a government, I think it's their responsibility and role to ensure that the marketplace is, first of all, fair and regulated for cannabis, but also sustainable. And one of the big levers they can work with is tax rates. Over the next couple of years, if we're to actually, a lot of the operators are to actually survive and be able to fight against the illicit market, even, prices of goods at the consumer level just needs to come down as well, which means, starting with taxes. And, I think operators here in California are getting a lot better at producing and shipping and distributing at economies of scale that lowers the cost of goods sold. But, there is still that one major piece of the taxes as well. I think there's coupling of that with this other macro trend of, this oversupply of production of raw flower in California as well, which is, significantly dropping pricing, which is a good thing for consumers. But ultimately, for instance, there's a cultivation tax the state imposes that is charged based upon the volume weight of a flower that's produced. And so when the prices come down, the tax doesn't actually come down because the weight still is the same.
Right.
And so, you know, ultimately the percentage that the percentage of fees of taxes that a cultivator will pay at the end of the day actually goes up. So, you know, it's quite unsustainable at this point. So the ask is for the government to amend that or to give us some relief on taxes. And, you know, I think the press and the efforts with legislators and regulators around this topic has been moving in a positive direction so far. Gavin Newsom has, Governor Newsom has stated that in his budget, he would listen to cannabis operators and make certain changes and amends to help the industry, because ultimately it benefits no one if the industry doesn't exist, because then they'd have no one to tax either.
You know, there's something interesting you point right there when you're talking about the cultivation tax, because the idea, when you brought that up, I thought of Canada because of the fact that if there is an oversupply right now, in Canada, where there's legalization, they're able to go ahead and set up import-export. So they're able to get it to other countries to at least go ahead and, you know, undo some of that extra supply that's there so that the cultivation tax can be something more manageable. In Canada, their excise duty on dry cannabis flower is $1 Canadian per gram or 10% the value of the gram. So, for them, they found that way to get around, but that's something that California doesn't have yet until there's some kind of relief. Now, I'll go and ask about that real quick. Do you think that within this, is there any kind of chance where we could see where California, without legalization federally, could there can be something can be done so that can offshoot some of that cultivation tax, help relieve some of that oversupply to get the supply out to other areas that could use it?
Yeah, I mean, I think there can be intermediary regulation that permits interstate commerce, or at least like, you know, states that are, if two states are bordering and they're legal, they can transfer products to each other. That might be something that can help balance out the supply of products. But currently, I will say it's not happening. I think products are definitely leaking out of California, but it's not regulated.
But that's not a bad idea. Arizona, yeah. Oregon, Washington, you could do something like that where you could put that together.
Yeah, pretty much the entire West Coast is legalized recreationally. And so, that would be an amazing reform. And I think if governments were, even state governments were progressive enough to, you know, push the line out a little further, then the oversupply wouldn't be as balanced. But, I tend to think that, the balance has to come between East and West Coast, or even out to the Midwest, though, because, a state like Arizona, the cost to produce is even lower sometimes than California. Mm-hmm. So, there's and Oklahoma has an overproduction problem. So, further and further out west you get, there's just this, buoying of supply. So unless I can make it out to markets that are totally, dry in cannabis, there won't be a balancing, because every state is oversupplied.
Well, it's kind of like, what was that one political candidate? It's just too damn high. But the thing too is with California, I'm looking at the information that the government has given and the amount that they've actually received. And this is from August 2021. Since January 2018, the revenue they received in taxes is $2.8 billion. $1.4 billion came from cannabis excise tax, $347 million out of cultivation tax, and $1 billion in sales tax. I just don't know what the number is that the California legislature expects to get from cannabis that would actually, be enough for to go ahead and balance out their budget. I just don't know what that number is.
Yeah. I mean, I think California, one of the things that the coalition dug up was that California state had like a $50 billion surplus on their balance sheet last year. Part of the argument is like, hey, you don't need to be taxing the cannabis industry so heavily if you're already running a surplus. We would like some help back, given that, if you want California cannabis to be, the marquee state, the Mecca, if you will, of cannabis in the US, then, you need to help it thrive. Part of the ask is, it doesn't seem like the government's really hurting for money in California, and B, operators are hurting because there's no reform.
It's amazing. Even the fact that, you know, just even I remember I talked to another guest a while back about when we were talking about vapes and how much the vape pens were actually in California. Just that alone is the vape tax in California is 63% wholesale. Just that's crazy. that's way beyond everybody else.
Yeah,
I think except for Minnesota, 95% wholesale. But now I want to take one thing that's being talked about. You mentioned the coalition. High Times reported about this, a letter dated December 17th of last year. Over two dozen cannabis executives warned Governor Gavin Newsom, President Pro Tempore Tony Atkins, and Speaker Anthony Rendon that the cannabis industries in the state is on the verge of collapse. And the letter says only major tax cuts and a rapid increase of retail operations can save the industry. Two-thirds of California cities lack dispensaries since local governments authorize sales and production. So we just talked about, I mean, if there was a way to create some interstate commerce, some intermediate regulation, like you said, where the oversupply could be pushed off and exported somewhere else within the country, or, I mean, I don't know if it could be done where you could actually, I mean, you have ports there, if it could be taken off overseas or, you know, sent to another country, anything like that could be done. The other part is, you know, it's trying to figure out what that can be done in terms of the tax. If there's any tax cuts can be done or any kind of communication with other municipalities so that there are more areas that can be serviced by the cannabis industry. Is there anything else you can think of that can be brought to the government that might be thinking outside of the box that can help the industry in general in California?
Yeah. I mean, thinking outside the box, I would say banking is a big issue. You know, there's so much cash floating around. It creates compliance problems, security problems, late payment problems that also damages the viability of a lot of businesses if they don't get paid on time. And if they don't have a way to convert cash to electronic funds, you know, it's really hard to do simple things that you don't even think about when you run a business, such as pay payroll or, you know, pay your vendors. You know, those generally are, there's so many tools out there for a non-cannabis industry, but, you know, for instance, when we try to sign up to just use Expensify to reimburse our employees for costs, you know, Expensify kicked us off because we were a cannabis business. So simple things like that could really make life a lot easier operating in the cannabis space.
Yep. There's a whole lot of ideas. Hopefully that, you know, maybe some of those from the legislature might be listening to this program, or those the companies that might be, you know, looking to find out what can be done in terms of relief for those said companies to help them out. You know, I like the fact we got a chance to brainstorm that a little bit here on the program. Coming up after the break, I want to also talk about, which we never talk about, you and the partner you worked with to go and create Nabis, this great company you have it as, Jun Lee. I want to talk about the business model. And I want to talk about, you know, more about the analytics that we didn't get a chance to talk to yet, because we did quite a bit on the last episode, Nabis Capital and Nabis Analytics. I'm here with Vince Ning, co-founder and CEO of Nabis, here on Blunt Business once again. Back after a short break.
Rolling into some sponsors, but we'll be right back with more Blunt Business.
We're back again with Vince Ning, co-founder and CEO of Nabis, here on Blunt Business. Going to shout out to Insider.com, Kimberly Leonard, Jeremy Burke, who have both appeared on the program. And one of the few times I get to look at an Insider.com article that does not have a big fat paywall behind it. I got to read about your story about you and your partner, Jun Lee, and the Nabis business model has stood out as a prime advantage. Unlike many in the space, Nabis doesn't take equity in partner companies or own any of the products it ships. Two noticed competitors struggled to scale the market as mature, but Nabis didn't experience the same results. You said to them, quote, "We are this even-keeled, unbiased platform that pretty much just offers a service." And you added that approach resulted in avoiding any conflicts of interest and being able to provide a cheaper distribution offering. And you've also helped live up to your own endeavors. Instead of just helping a few choice partners, you've helped grow and develop as many brands as possible. Quote, "It's really helping everyone from the biggest brands to the smallest brand. Knowing that the cannabis industry is still nascent right now, we want to be there to support everyone across the supply chain and the economy to make sure that everyone has a fair chance of getting to market." So I wanted to let you expand on what you've been doing there and how you've been helping out so much other companies and growing yourself.
Yeah. You know, for us, like we're built very differently than a traditional distributor. Traditional distributor is, just to define that a little bit, is, you know, the combination of, you know, of a sales team that sits on top of a logistics platform that can fulfill the products that are sold at wholesale. You know, for us, we actually handle the fulfillment side, and the sales side is essentially handled by our marketplace and brands' own sales teams. So ultimately, ultimately, you know, we thought that this model was something that is far cheaper because we don't have to pay expensive sales staff. So, you know, ultimately, when a brand uses our platform, they pay about half the rates that any other traditional distributor would charge. And they get to take that additional money back and spend it on their own sales staff. And excuse me.
Take a second.
Yeah. And what that creates is really just a platform where brands can sell their own products, tell their own stories of their own products and brands, and use us as like a fulfillment platform, and also be able to accelerate their growth with, you know, our software tools, such as our marketplace, our CRM, analytics, financing tools. Ultimately, the brands get a direct relationship with their retail buyers. So, you know, for us, you know, we came at this idea from, I guess, like this sector of the industry with an idea that was really built from, you know, first principles, if you will, where, you know, this is one of the first few regulated supply chains that have been ever created or permitted to be legalized since the inception of the internet. And so we wanted to really involve tech into this space and really drive down costs and really allow brands to amplify their sales better than, you know, a very human driven supply chain might. And so, you know, over time, you know, our next largest competitor in the traditional space probably distributes maybe 20 to 25 brands. And, you know, we're helping to support a lot more, and especially a lot of the smaller brands as well, who otherwise wouldn't have a shot at getting to market.
Yeah. Let's go and talk about again about Nabis Marketplace, Nabis Capital, Nabis Analytics. So you're seamlessly connecting brands with retailers and providing businesses financing and data analytics insights to help sales strategy. I know we talked about it, and obviously a lot of things have probably changed, probably some upgrades and probably some enhancements. Talk to me about what has changed with the platform and what more that you offer now these days.
Yeah, I mean, since last time we talked, we didn't have a wholesale marketplace. Mm-hmm. We didn't have our financing platform called Nabis Capital, and we didn't have analytics tools, and we didn't even have a retailer-facing software portal as well, so they can track their orders and purchase products.
Yeah.
And so all of that combined has really created this one-stop shop of a platform for both brands and retailers to be able to transact in as streamlined of a way as possible. And Nabis will handle all of the hairy business in between around, you know, fulfilling the products, around compliance related to that, around, you know, collecting payments, processing the cash, you know, ensuring that, you know, the supply chain and orders, are streamlined as streamlined as possible.
That's great. Hey, you know, really, Vince, I'm glad we got a chance to go and catch back up and where things have gone and kind of just follow the trek of where Nabis has gone as a company and where things have been. So really glad to hear everything's going very well. And like I said, hopefully just that there's a whole lot more help that California gets so that, you know, for what you're doing right now and all the companies you're helping out, you're doing so much for everybody out there. It's really great. And, you know, let's definitely go ahead and do this again in another couple of years, I guess. We can always just keep up in touch. But real quickly, let's send people to the website, nabis.com, NABIS.com, like cannabis, just like the first CA out there. And real quickly, when people go to the website, you know, let people know how, if there are some possible customers out there listening in the audience that might be interested in what you're doing, take a minute to go ahead and talk to them about why Nabis would be someplace they need to go ahead and follow with you for wholesale in one.
Yeah, I mean, you know, go to nabis.com, check out our Instagram. It's nabis_HQ. You can also reach out to partnerships at nabis.com, and our team will send you materials as it relates to all of our, you know, products and services, and how we can help you grow your business.
Fantastic. Again, joined with Vince Dean, co-founder and CEO of Navis. Thanks for being here with the program. And thank you, listeners, for listening to the program. As always, do make sure to rate and review where you can, whether it's Amazon Music or Apple Podcasts. We will talk to you next time. The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast, republication, or retransmission of this program without proper consent is prohibited.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.